Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with the big story of the day.
I'm tempted to say the big story of the day is the goal scored by the St. Louis Blues last night against the Florida Panthers. I just have never seen anything in the world of sports like it. And there's a lot of other stuff going on, and we got time for everything. But in this holiday season of giving and taking, for a puck to be rocketed into the corner, go off the nether regions of an official, and then bounce at a 90-degree angle past a goaltender, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it in my life. And I guess hockey referees wear cups, because there is no way, if that guy wasn't wearing a cup, that puck would have bounced as far as it did. So I start the show at that moment. Have you seen this goal, Al?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, dude.
Was it amazing?
Big Sexy, did you see it? It was unbelievable.
There's no way that angle should have taken that kind of bounce. It was crazy.
It was insane.
It was almost, it was right in line with the goal line,
it's red, isn't it? The offside line there, whatever it's called.
Yeah, the goal line.
Goal line. Dude, it's crazy.
I'm looking for it now.
You won't believe it when you see it.
Okay.
By the way, do we have the Big Sexy? Do we have the Temple head coach screaming about the Independence Bowl?
What do you mean screaming about it?
Did you see that?
No, what happened?
Oh my God! He's down in.
We're sitting here 30 minutes before the show, and you didn't mention none of this stuff to me.
This is like yesterday, though, right? Oh. I didn't see it initially. Big Sexy brought to my attention. But he sounded, first of all, not only did he sound like Matt Foley, Chris Farley's, character on Saturday Night Live, the inspirational speaker, he looks like him.
And his last name is Foley.
Was he doing this all on purpose? Yeah, here's what he was saying about the Independence Bowl.
But our football team is going to come down here ready to play. We're going to practice really hard. We're going to play really hard. I hope that we play well, but I know that we'll play hard. And we're going to find out about Duke, and we're going to find out about Temple, and we're going to find out about which one of those football clubs wants to hit each other harder longer. That's what we're going to decide here on the 27th. And while we're getting ready to do that, I hope that you see the finest group of young men that's ever been through Shreveport. I hope you have a chance to see them hold a door open for you or say thank you for being here or be truly appreciative, because, guys, I love this team. And I love these players, and I know you will too when you get around. Please get around our players. They are going to love you. They are going to love Shreveport, and you're going to love them. And they are going to be so appreciative of being here. Guys, it's going to be one of the greatest teams that you've ever had here, I promise that. So we're fired up to be here. Thank you to everybody for having us.
Was that a goof?
He was talking to the host host committee.
Because his name is Foley. He's dressed up like that character, Matt Foley.
What happened on that goal?
Yeah, I know. Now you're seeing it, huh?
What happened to the ref? Did it get him?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
What?
Right.
The goal is looking like, what is going on?
The goalie may have let up on that play just a pinch. Reasonably so.
That is nuts.
Do we have Matt Foley, Chris Farley?
You're going to end up eating a steady diet of government cheese and living in a van down by the river.
All right.
I love Chris Farley, man.
Yeah, the guy from Temple.
That guy in a little coat.
It's the little things that make you laugh.
That guy in a little coat.
There he is. That guy in a little coat. Did a lot of research behind the scenes today on a couple things.
I bet you did.
I did. Oh, by the way, the Broncos ownership story. Wall Street Journal over the weekend. New York Times
really?
Today. And Profiled and Deadspin as well. So there's no new news in it for those who have been sort of keeping up with it. It's just that it's now triggered, you know, those things.
Right. Are they calling it messy?
Yeah, it's, you know, family squabble and this, that. The New York Times piece was very favorable to Beth. The Wall Street Journal piece was more in line with the trust.
And the Deadspin article is titled, "The Intra-Family Squabble for Ownership of the Broncos is Only Getting Uglier."
Right, I'm looking at it.
Big Sexy just told me about Deadspin. I hadn't seen that. I saw the New York Times thing early this morning. And the Wall Street Journal, I just read pieces because they want you to subscribe, and I won't do that. So, but I picked up what they were laying down. So I don't think there's any new news here, as long as you've been sort of paying attention to everything.
The thing about the trust is that they don't have a deadline.
I mean,
that is the one part about this that is, I guess, puzzling and makes you shake your head a little bit. Is like, how come there's no date?
That's because Pat Bowlen didn't set one up. He left it vague.
I know that there is something that triggers something for all of them at the age 40. How many of them?
That's when they can get their inheritance, basically.
So can any one of the kids just say, "Give it to me right now"?
Once
that's
the team,
over 40?
Well, if the team is sold.
Okay.
Once the team is sold,
to get to 40 before they make the decision?
Well, that's impossible. That's impossible. Everybody. One of the younger daughters is like 21 years old.
That's what I'm saying.
Wait, 19 years
just so you can
just be sure.
Yes.
Make sure everybody's ready.
I mean, how do you determine who's ready and who's not?
And Joe Ellis is going to oversee the trust into his early 90s?
I don't know how old Joe is right now.
I think he's getting older by the day.
Who is it?
That's true. Good point.
Benjamin Buttons.
So, I don't know. There's more. Listen, when things happen here and we bring things up, and we are, of course, been way ahead of this. I mean, way ahead of it. But once it sort of hits the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, well, I mean, those are big publications. Those are read in New York City where the NFL offices are.
Right.
So there's a difference between Michael Silver calling me an alleged journalist for bringing up this story last year at the Super Bowl and the New York Times writing about it. You can dismiss, you know, little old D-Mac. But
yeah, listen, we heard some surreal, like,
there it is.
We had a reporter from, or an alleged journalist from the Denver area opining about which Bowlen kid was the most worthy successor and asking about that succession plan. Roger, you know, I don't know what he was going to do with that.
Brilliant insight from Michael Silver right there, ladies and gentlemen.
I tell you the truth.
Right. Way to break it down on NFL Network, Mike Silver. Way to take a personal beef with me and just try to twist it around as if the story didn't matter. What a putz. That guy. What is he doing? Asking a question about Broncos ownership? Who does he think? Yeah, well, read the New York Times today. Read the Wall Street Journal. Read Deadspin. So where this goes, Al, well, I do know where it's going to go next, because Bill Bowlen filed the lawsuit. There was a response from the trust. Bill Bowlen's lawyers have filed a response to that, basically saying the trust was using delay tactics. And next is the trust response to Bowlen's response, Bill Bowlen's response. After that, that's it. And then the judge has to make a decision. So the judge will do one of three things, I think. He'll go along with the trust and say, yes, this should be arbitrated by the NFL. And in Bill Bowlen's filing, they pointed out that arbitration in a 5% ownership argument with the San Francisco 49ers took almost 6 years.
What?
Yeah, that was interesting. So there was some sort of, 5% of the Niners was kind of up for grabs. It went to NFL arbitration, and it took 6 years to figure out for 5%. So obviously, the trust would love to see that, theoretically, right? That it goes to NFL arbitration and, you know, it just takes all sorts of time and, you know, no problem. And ideally, they want, you know, Brittany Bolin to be put in. I mean, they've been
Brittany's 28.
Yeah, true. She's getting older by the day, too. The judge could say, okay, yeah, you win that. And it's going to go to arbitration and we'll just hold off on it. The judge could say, Bill Bolin has no standing. Meaning he does not have any skin in this game.
But does his claims, are his claims valid if they, even if he has no skin in the game?
We'll see.
If he's speaking on the behalf of the seven kids?
Well, he's not speaking on behalf of the seven kids. He's speaking on behalf of what he thinks his brother would want.
Right, okay.
So whether the judge thinks that that's valid or not. Now, Bill Bolin was one of the original owners of the Broncos. It was Bill Bolin, Pat Bolin's sister, John Bolin, and Pat Bolin's mom. They all went in on it together. But Bill Bolin was bought out, Al, in 2002, a long time ago. But he definitely represents the interests of Beth Bolin.
Mm, okay.
And Amy Klemmer, who's Beth's sister. But his whole lawsuit is about just getting rid of the trust completely. Not giving it to Beth or Amy, but just getting rid of the trust and kind of starting this process fresh. I don't know if the judge will say, you could say, hey, he's got no standing, he's got no skin in this game.
Then one of the kids would have to,
right,
I guess,
but the problem is there is a condition.
Sue on
there is a condition if you sue.
If you sue the trust?
If you sue the trust, you're out of the inheritance.
Huh?
Yeah.
So just shut up and take it?
Basically. That's why they got Bill Bolin involved with it.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
When was that provision put in there?
I don't know when it was put in, but
so
it's
you have
part
a trust.
Of the deal.
So let me make sure I get this right. You have a trust that doesn't have an end date to make a decision, and you also have a provision in the trust that says if you sue, then you lose your inheritance.
Right.
What in the world?
That's how Pat Bolin put it together. That's how he. Now.
So that means Joe Ellis can just. He can just chill forever then.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, nothing's really changed. You know, when I asked Goodell that question.
But where are you getting all this information from?
Oh, this is just all coming out.
It's everywhere.
It's in the court. You got to read
the court.
All that stuff, yeah.
The lawsuit.
Yeah, I got to do all that stuff.
That is nuts.
Eh.
So you don't have an end date, and if you sue, then you lose your inheritance.
Right. Now, sadly, when Pat Bolin eventually.
Hold on, man. Do you look? I know I'm not the only one that's saying that's
what?
Nuts.
Coupon?
What is
what?
That?
What? What?
Coupon?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Also, check
that
this out.
That is some serious.
Check this out.
Reason not to sue.
Yeah, oh, I mean, no kidding.
You're talking about an organization that is worth $3 billion, right?
I mean,
you got $3 billion.
But it doesn't apply to Bill Bolin. Because Bill Bolin doesn't get anything. He's already cashed out. He doesn't have any chance to run the team, nor does he benefit directly financially from the sale of the team.
You like that?
$428 million. If $428 million, if you divide it by seven, and...
Oh, no, more than that.
Huh?
Like $2.6 billion divided by seven.
No. $428 per person.
Oh, right, right.
$3 billion valuation.
Right, but there's another twist.
What?
Pat Bolin bought the team when he was 40 years of age with his other family members. So he's got a provision in there when they split everything up, when the team is sold or divided equally amongst the children, none of the children can cash in on it until they're 40 years of age.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, makes sense.
I'm okay with that.
So there's only two of the adult children who are over 40.
That's what I'm saying, is the decision to get everybody to 40 before you make a determination about who's more qualified than the other?
Not necessarily, because you don't have to be 40 to just be the controlling owner. You don't have to.
Is there language in, I don't know, is there language in the
now,
trust? Nobody has seen the trust, right?
Do you know Pat Bolin used to have a rule that if you weren't 35 years of age, you couldn't go into the owner suite?
Okay.
Pat just had some ways of looking at life, you know, like, now that rule's been relaxed, you know, in the past few years, but that used to be the rule. You couldn't even go into the owner's box if you weren't at least 35.
Okay. My house.
My house.
My house.
Pat can do whatever he wants.
Right. Yeah, I do what I want in my
Paint
house.
Paint that car purple if you want. Right. Whatever. It's your car. It's your house. Make it polka dots.
Right.
Your rules. Not saying if it's right or wrong.
My rules.
Yeah. So here's another wacky provision. I mean, theoretically, then, Brittany Bowlin could be the controlling person of the team at age, like, 33.
That's 5 years from now.
Right. But she wouldn't be able to
sell it or,
yeah, I don't
or
know
receive any funds from it.
Yeah, I should stop there because I'm not exactly probably, sure.
If it's set up to that nobody can have the funds until they're 40, then she could be the owner of the team and not receive.
Yeah, theoretically.
Yeah, the owner's share of profits.
My guess that would change. So
How can you change it if it's part of the trust?
The next move in this, I don't know. The next move in this is for the Dan Riley, the attorney for the trust, to respond to Bill Bolin's latest filing.
That happened last Friday.
Bill Bolin's response happened last Friday. Now there's another 10 days before Dan Riley, the attorney for the trust, responds to the Bill Bolin filing. So we have another 6-7 days to see if we get another response, because I think it was filed on like a Saturday.
Alrighty.
Yeah, I know.
This thing is heating up.
A little bit. And it's catching some, you know, national attention, too.
Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Deadspin, all in the past 3 days.
Wow.
Yep. What does this matter to the current state of the Broncos? I don't know. That's kind of debatable. You know, depends on how you view the team as being run and the decision process that's being made. You know, a lot of people, rightfully so, would say, hey, man, calm down. Joe Ellis has piloted this team to 2 Super Bowls, winning 1, multiple division championships. He's been an unbelievable steward
wanted. Nobody will ever doubt those words.
Yeah, because he's been running the show for a long, long time.
But you have a challenger. You have somebody who is clearly saying, I want to be the owner now.
Well, you have 2 people. You have Brittany Bowlin, who has said it publicly, and Beth Bowlin, who said it publicly. But just because some of the other kids haven't said it doesn't mean they're not thinking about it. You know, there's other kids in this mix. There's 5 other adult children.
That is a crazy provision that says that if you sue, you lose all of your interest in the team.
Right.
That's crazy.
That's right. Anyways.
Okay.
So what happens now in terms of moving forward with the team? You know, my mind is just, I'm in a different place with the Broncos right now. I'm in like, I'm in kind of like I am in preseason. Like, what happens on the field specifically isn't as interesting to me right now as what happens in the future.
I think I'm there too. After last game and the disappointment of the loss against that woefully collection of players for a woefully effort against that collection of players from the 49ers, I'm basically checked out.
Yeah,
I'm checked out on this year.
I definitely
just being absolutely honest with you. I mean, yeah. It was an emotional gut punch that I took on Sunday. It really was. I mean, it was that last 2 or 3, last 4 minutes of that game when we didn't get that third down stop. Man, I was like, wow, really? And then the 49ers gave us one more shot with 4 seconds left in the game to try to get one more win. With the 4 seconds that didn't, the downing of the ball that didn't happen the right way. I'm like, another shot. And, you know, that one was like, okay, when this is done, then season's done. Now, there's still a chance that the Broncos will get in the playoffs. There is a 3 percentage point chance that they can get in.
That's true.
But come on.
Right. Right. So, like, I have spent time studying the Browns. I think I'm pretty well versed on what the Browns got going on.
It's a more mature team than what we thought of at this point of the year.
Broncos certainly will have their hands full. And if they play like they did against San Francisco, they could be humiliated by the Browns.
The Browns have a collection of top picks that have gotten better year after year after year, having the number one, number two, number three, number four picks for as long as they have. Plus, they've done some good deals in free agency to give them the kind of leadership that they need. The quarterback's starting to play better, and you're right. We could, this could be, on a Saturday night, this could be an ugly game.
Could be. I don't think it will be. But if the Broncos play like they did against San Francisco, the Browns will blow out the Broncos. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm not wasting a lot of time worrying about it one way or the other, because my mind is just like, okay, what's next? Now, I've had some, you know, smart people today say, hey, what's going to happen to Vance Joseph? And I do think the next three games will play a very important role. But it is a weird situation, because while I'm not rooting for the Broncos to lose, there's nothing negative about the Broncos losing. Now, just like preseason. You lose a preseason game, Al. I mean, whatever. Who knows? You lose a regular.
But I wouldn't mind this team right now if that was the last win that we got was a couple weeks ago, and then we went 6-10.
That's fine, you know, by me at this point.
Just improves our draft position.
Sure, gives you better options.
But the 72ers will go nuts. The 72ers will go nuts. And if you don't know who the 72ers are, those are the people who have made claims that to be a credible coach, you can't lose 2 years in a row. So, yeah, that hasn't happened since 1972. So the 72ers would go nuts.
Yeah. And they're a very paranoid bunch. Not like the 76ers, because that's a basketball team. 72ers, 76. So what will happen with VJ? I mean, there's a lot of pressure on VJ and the coaching staff. I don't know if the players are really feeling that same sort of pressure. Joe Woods admitted today it was just humiliating what happened to his defense. He said he can't really get guys fired up. Either you really, you know, you have it inside of you and you don't. I actually agree with that on this level.
I think you know who those guys are in training camp, and those are the guys you keep around your team.
Yeah.
If they're not excitable about what they're doing, they probably won't be excitable later in the year. Maybe you have front runners. Maybe you had front runners who just don't like to play. Like, I just love to play. Like, I would play. Every game that you play in the NFL is a collection of one-on-one battles. That's what you should know about the NFL. It's just a collection of one-on-one battles. I just wanted to win my one-on-one battle.
You're the shame game this week? You were the lowest one on...
Maybe.
Not maybe. It's.
I don't know. Maybe.
Do we have it, Big Sexy? I mean, should we just get it over with?
Let's do it. Go ahead.
Hey, this is John from Highlands Ranch. I won King Super's fan football pick'em this week, and I get to shame my favorite host, Big Al.
Aww.
Alfred, I'm going to take it easy on you.
All right.
Repeat after me. The best-looking host on the drive is D-Mac.
The best-looking host on the drive is D-Mac.
Thank you! Finally! See, you know what really bugs me is
that's
the big joke that I'm so ugly that that's funny. Big Three's next.
Just out of curiosity, what did you look like before the accident?
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222. The phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three.
Sorry about that. Story number one. The Broncos and the Browns, Al, go down on Saturday night. What does this game mean for both teams? What is to be learned, or what should we be thinking about when it comes to watching this game on Saturday night?
I think because of the number of young players that are participating in the game, I look at it just as building blocks. That's it. Neither team are in a real conversation about the playoffs. So all you're trying to do is get all the young guys as much experience as they can going into next year for both the Cleveland Browns and the Denver Broncos, because we'll be playing young players on our offensive side as well. So it's a building block game.
It's like a preseason game.
Yeah.
Except kind of.
This counts on a permanent record, but
three.
That's it.
Yep, bongos.
Here's something that is really tricky. The Raiders
yes.
are involved in a lawsuit with the city of Oakland.
Where are they going to play?
The Raiders don't have a lease for the 2019 football season.
Right.
Now, we know that the Raiders have played in Los Angeles. We know that they are currently in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
How about this to round it out? The San Diego Raiders.
For one season.
The Raiders could be playing in San Diego because they have an open stadium that nobody is using on Sundays, and that could be an option.
It's not a bad thought, especially because San Diego is not that far from Las Vegas, and you could see maybe we should draw a fan base from that area. We're going to pick up the people in Vegas no matter what. That's a really good thought, actually. We have a stadium that's built for NFL games for at least one more season. That's a really good thought, actually. That probably makes more sense out of it than anything.
And the reason that this is happening is because the city of Oakland has filed a federal lawsuit against the Raiders for $80 million, saying that they have put improvements into the stadium that the Raiders had requested, and now that the Raiders are leaving the lease, they're left with the $80 million bill that the city does not want to pay, and they think the Raiders should pay it.
And the Raiders say, we're not paying you $80 million right. to be in this place
and
for 1 year.
And on top of that, we're not going to play in Oakland in 2019. We're thinking about playing in Reno, San Diego, and going to Vegas 1 year early.
Well, why not? I mean, frankly, why couldn't they do all those things? They could certainly base themselves in Las Vegas. You can practice anywhere. Let's keep it real. You could set that up, no problem. And then you could just play your home games wherever you want. Okay, you could have a home game at UNLV. You could have a home game in San Diego. You could have a home game in Reno. You know what I'm saying? Like, what difference does it make?
Where will you practice?
You'd practice in Las Vegas. You'd get some sort of temporary facility to have a football practice in. That's not a big deal. You could probably practice in the MGM ballroom. You know, I mean, there's places to practice in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And you could build a field in a short period of time. It's not ideal. It's not perfect, but you could definitely get away with it.
Three!
Speaking of Vegas, they're going to have, there being the NFL, the draft in Las Vegas.
Denver's not good enough, but Las Vegas is, even though the Raiders aren't even there yet. But Woo! That would be their first year in their brand new facility.
Listen, man, you build a stadium, things will happen.
Things will happen.
What do you think about the draft being in Las Vegas?
You know what? I'm okay with it. I really don't want the NFL draft here in Denver for some reason. You know, it just doesn't feel right. If they want to take it to Vegas, go ahead.
How about that? So
guys,
Denver.
Guys flat out to Vegas.
Denver out of luck in the draft sweepstakes, Bongos.
Three!
Well, a good friend of ours and a good friend of this show, Brandon Marshall, was released today by the Saints.
Mm.
So does that effectively end his NFL run as a wide receiver in this league?
Maybe not. We'll see.
He's 15th on the all-time list with 970 receptions, and he's also 22nd in receiving yards with 12,000.
I can see a team like the Patriots picking him up for the short-term gain. You know, possession receiver, somebody that you can kind of count on, a target. Like, let's face it, Rob Gronkowski has seen better days, and he's just not the same weapon that he used to be. Who? Brandon?
Brandon Marshall.
Definitely not.
He has 83 career touchdowns, and that is...
Dude, he's never been to the playoffs. I mean, that is staggering
right,
to think.
Right.
That, how long has Brandon played? 13 years? 12 years?
12, I think it
12
is.
12 years? Never won a Super Bowl. Forget that. He's never been to the playoffs. So, is it the end of his career?
And he's playing on a team in the Saints that are 11-2 and have already clinched a playoff spot.
That's a tough, tough deal. That's a harsh moment for Brandon. That's a tough one.
13 years in the NFL.
A thought it was tough for C.J. Anderson to be cut by the Raiders, and you said that's just the way it goes. So I don't know why this would be any different, although I think it's tough for all those guys.
Should the Broncos reach out to Brandon Marshall and have him part of this team again?
No. Why would they? We just said this is like preseason. You got to get the young guys in the mix. There's no benefit whatsoever to have an older player on the team in these last three games.
Teacher. Okay, Bongos.
Bongos.
I just want to help him continue his streak.
Of what?
Not making it to the playoffs.
I think he's accomplishing that. Alfred.
Yes?
When it comes to landing on the moon, how are we supposed to frame this for other kids? You know, if kids hear that their stars doubt stuff like this, and I'm trying to keep this lighthearted, but this continues to be a story about, you know, questioning the moon landing.
No way. That's great.
Al, do you think, what do you say to a kid who comes up to you and goes, Dad, Steph Curry, my hero, doesn't believe we landed on the moon?
Did you see Steph Curry's reaction? He said that he was kidding about it 1,000%.
Was he?
I mean, he had a response to that. So
did you see NASA actually invited him out to a lunar lab
right,
to take a tour of their establishment that they have out there?
Right. So all of that. So
don't worry about
it. Just joking around. So
my question is, can normal people question NASA's doings and get that same treatment?
So hold on. We should lighten up. Lighten up, Francis.
Absolutely.
All right, fine.
I want to do this one real quick.
All right, go ahead.
You asked a very good question about videos. I don't know if you've seen this story, but the NFL special counsel, Todd Jones, says that the NFL will never pay for videos and investigations.
I saw that, yeah.
Can't do it. How do you feel about that?
I think that's very short-sighted, and he may just be lying. So that may be something you say out loud and you do the exact opposite behind the scenes. We'll see. We'll see when the next case comes up.
I don't think they have.
Oh, no, they definitely have not. And now people are pressing them. This is what we were thinking about asking Roger Goodell at the Super Bowl. And now, you know, people are sort of asking the same question a little bit earlier. I think they can say that because it makes them look above board. But we'll see, Al. You know, we'll have to wait for the next video incident to come out and to see how it comes out. We'll see.
Okay.
I don't believe it. I'll believe it when I guess, don't see it. Bongos.
Three!
In terms of, we got some interesting words from Von Miller, by the way. And I did a bunch of research on your guy, Drew Locke. There's a fact about Drew Locke, Al, that I don't know if you know, but you're going to hate. Because he has something in common with Case Keenum that drives you nuts. Details next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
So I'm now looking at mock drafts and sort of seeing how the vibe is out there. And Todd McShay had the Broncos drafting Marquise Hollywood Brown, wide receiver, small burner, Tyreek Hill type of wide receiver from Oklahoma. Okay. Saw another draft of, that was McShay. I saw another draft that had the Broncos taking an offensive lineman. And I did find a mock draft, that had Drew Locke being the first quarterback off the board going to Jacksonville. Okay. There you go. Right?
Okay.
Found out something very interesting about Justin Herbert, Herbay, in Oregon.
Go ahead.
He's got a brother, Patrick, who's a tight end, that will be a freshman at Oregon next year. And apparently the two are very close, and there's a vibe behind the scenes that they really want to spend a year playing football with each other at Oregon. His brother apparently was a pretty high quality recruit, had a lot of other choices, and chose Oregon. Also, I was led to believe that Phil Knight may make it worth everybody's while to stick around and play one more season there in Oregon.
How can you do that?
I don't know. That's just what I was told. I'm not exactly sure how legally he would do that.
Let's just say it's not illegal to pay somebody after they're done playing football for you.
It's true. Wow. Perhaps there's promises being made through Nike.
Is that illegal?
I don't. You know, first of all, I don't know if that's a fact. So, you know, the person I was talking
to. All you have to do is make him an employee and you can pay him anything you want.
I guess, right?
Make him
Michael Jordan's a pretty well paid employee.
Right. I guess that he could sign an endorsement for like $25 million. As soon as he's done playing, and that would take care of everything.
I guess so. Now, if you're Phil Knight and you've poured all sorts of money into the Oregon program, and Herbert's the best quarterback you've had there in a long time, and his brother's coming along, it's pretty tempting to say, hey, let's see what we can do to keep this together for one more year, right? Let me make it worth your while. We'll see. So there's a lot of thinking out there, Al. Herbert's not going into the draft, like, by his own choice. And that you say,
I've heard that.
Well, what about all the money? Well, if you're about to be a future employee of Phil Knight, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, money might be kind of relative. It's a unique situation. So now I'm seeing a lot of question marks about Herbert. Drew Lock. I was talking to an NFL personnel guy today, and he was like, Drew Lock is a turnover machine, fumbles the ball a lot, throws a lot of inaccurate interceptions that he doesn't need to, even though his numbers at Missouri wouldn't tell that story, especially this year. But then he gave me this. He goes, he's got small hands.
Oh.
And I was like, really? You go, yep. He's got small hands, and the ball just, although he's got a strong arm, the guy is 6'4", 225, whatever.
What is small hands for a guy 6'4"?
That's a good question. I don't know. And I've been trying to look up, you know, his hand stats, and I don't know if they exist anywhere. I'm kind of trying to dig through it, but that's what my guys, if you can find Drew Lock's hand size, I suppose we could compare it to other guys in the NFL.
For example, Paxton Lynch at 6'7", hand size was 10.25 inches. Aaron Rodgers is 10.13, smaller. Mm-hmm. Some of the bigger hand sizes in the NFL, Brett Favre, certainly, because I guess you need to have that kind of control of the football, 10.38. And I want to give you... There was one that was outrageous when I was looking at it. Jim Druckenmiller, who used to play quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, had 11.25.
Dude, them some hands.
Hands, right?
What are you?
I don't know.
Because you have pretty big hands.
Right. But I really can't grab a foot. I can't really hold a football.
Really?
Firmly. Not a college ball, yes, but not an NFL ball.
Hmm.
Russell Wilson, for example, has 10.25.
For a short guy, he's got big hands.
Right.
And Flutie was always supposedly that same thing. Short guy, big hands. Big head.
Drew Brees has 10.25 hands, and he's 6 foot tall.
There you go. Now,
Michael Vick had a hand size of 8.5.
Tiny. Really small hands.
But he had a gun.
Yeah, Drew Lock's got a gun, too. But and I don't know what his hand size are. This is just what a personnel guy told me. I just started laughing, of course, Al, because you brought that up about Case Keenum.
Well, Case Keenum hand size got to be small.
So does that change your opinion on Drew Lock? I mean, we got to look up what his hand size, I suppose, actually is.
No, because when I hear that Michael Vick hand size was 8.25... The thing is, when the ball comes out of your hand, how does it come out of your hand?
Well, the guy I was talking to is like, you can't keep it in your hand. Your hands are too small. The ball's just going to come loose too often. But like I told you, I saw a mock today that had Drew Lock going number 7 or 8 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I'm not here to just say, oh, forget about it. I'm here to say he's, you know, in the mix, and I'm seeing him in the mix. It was just an interesting response to get about him in particular.
Case Keenum hand size is 9.125.
Pretty small.
Same size as Colin Kaepernick's. But here's what I'll tell you, okay? Some quarterbacks, like I know this for a fact because of our relationship, Warren Moon grabs the football by the end of the football. Like, his hand is not on the not necessarily covering all the laces. He threw the ball basically like he wanted his pointing finger to be on the tip of the nose of the football.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I don't know how Drew Locke grips the ball, but I'm telling you, when it comes out of his hand, it is, I mean, he's got a cannon.
I'm just bringing it. It's a small thing. It's not the biggest thing in the world.
But I also saw.
But I wanted to just bring it to your attention.
Yeah. I figured it was going to be something like that. That's why I had those numbers ready. I figured you were going to say something like that. But how about this? The quarterbacks that are part of the NFL draft next year, even if it doesn't work out that we don't get Drew Locke, that we still could be looking at a guy like Dwayne Haskins.
He's getting some momentum. I see him
and
climbing.
He can't really declare because Ohio State is part. No, they're not. They're not part of the.
No, they're not. They were number six.
Yeah, number six. So I guess he's going to play the bowl game to figure out what they are going to do. But he is a redshirt sophomore.
He's draft eligible, but he's got time that he can play.
He has the biggest arm of anybody I've seen throw the football this year.
He's got an interesting choice to make. He's not a
his numbers. His numbers are inflated because they do those sweep passes, you know, where the jet sweep where the receivers come to the middle of the field and he just throws it right in front of him. That's actually a pass.
He's only played one season of college football.
Yeah. So did Cam Newton.
So did Kyler Murray. So did Tua Tagovailoa.
So we could have a situation where Dwayne Haskins becomes the number one player drafted in the NFL, a huge New York Giants fan.
No, there's no way that's going to happen.
Well, the first quarterback taken.
Oh, okay, right. Because, like, the Cardinals are death spiraling towards that number one pick.
What's their record? I think they have 3 wins, right?
Do they? They got 3.
Raiders
got 3. The San Francisco 49ers have 3, something like that. So there you go. As we sort of think ahead a little bit.
I can't believe the 49ers won that game last week against the Broncos.
I'm telling you. Football at 4. We don't have to go down there again.
I can't believe it.
Football at 4 is next.
I can't believe it.